If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Aprovecha los adelantos de Black Friday en JCPenney, con grandes ahorros en joyería y hogar, como hasta 60% de descuento en muebles, colchones, cortinas y persianas, o hasta 75% en joyería fina con un descuento de 40% que se aplica automáticamente al pagar. Más ofertas, grandes ahorros. JCPenney, vale la pena. Ofertas válidas hasta el 2 de noviembre en selección de estilos. Se excluyen de los cupones. Aplican exclusiones. Detalles en la tienda jcp.com.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with you guys today. It is Thursday, and now y'all know what happens on Thursday. We got the coach approach with my man, Ant from 49ers Cutback. Ant, how are we doing today, man?
Doing good. It's been a fun week living off the Cowboys' tears and just enjoying a big victory. And was it the cleanest of victories? No, but it was a victory nonetheless, and you had to get a big win against Dallas, and that was going to set up the second half of the season, and they did that. They took care of business, and so now it's been fun. We've gotten to break down the film, see what they did as far as adjustments, and now we get to enjoy it and just kind of watch football this weekend and see how things play out before the 49ers take on Tampa Bay next week.
Which is looking and shaping up to be a huge game. We'll see how, you know, the Tampa Bay game pans out this week, coming off a loss, against the Falcons. But, man, it's just we've been here. And we can't help ourselves, Ant. Whenever bad things happen, you come off a loss and people are emotional and you get all your Fire Shanahan emails into you, all that stuff. It's just like, you know what? Just breathe a little bit. Let's calm down. Let's keep playing. There's a lot of football. And in 2024, seven teams get in the NFC. Seven. And probably more importantly than that, one team has to get in the NFC West, where it is mediocre, 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 and then slightly below mediocre for all four divisional teams. So I don't know. I feel like the playoff chances and the playoff kind of percentages, not that it's right where the 49ers want to be, but we've been here, done that, right?
Right, and they control their own destiny. You play all three of the NFC West teams still, and two of those are at home. So you got to feel pretty comfortable with your position and where you're sitting. And the best way to go through it is the division. And the 49ers have a good opportunity to win the division. So I think they're sitting comfortable. I don't think this is where they wanted to be. I think they see a couple of games for sure they should have won. They should easily be 6-2 right now, but they let those slip away. But how do you respond in the second half of the season is the big way to go. And really, how good are you going to be playing at the end of December and January is the key. It's not about how you play these first, you know, eight games. It's about the last nine and how you set yourself up for the playoff push. And the 49ers have proven to be good at that. They've got to prove it again, but I think they're feeling comfortable with a nine game season and thinking that they can get themselves into the playoffs. And then when they do, nobody wants to see them in the playoffs. They're always a tough out. And I think that's exactly what they're planning on doing this season again.
Yeah. It's, I don't want to say funny, but like, you know, Wayne and I, we went through before the season, we've done this like 3 or 4 years in a row, where you rank every single position group in the NFC West. You know, you do linebackers, you do defensive tackles, defensive ends, and we rank every single player. Then we rank, you know, 1 through 4. And the thing that kept coming across, even though the 49ers maybe are a little bit more top heavy than they have been in the past, the 49ers still had more depth than almost everybody. And they went through, again, you saw the graphic in Sunday Night Football. The most all pros and Pro Bowl player snaps missed this season has been the 49ers. And so you've already been through the ringer and you're tied with everybody else in your division. Now you're getting into the part where the depth, not to mention the 49ers rookie draft class, which might be the best in the NFL this season. They're freaking all starting to step up. And then, oh, by the way, there's this other guy by the name of Christian McCaffrey. And then there's this enforcer by the name of Dre Greenlaw, my favorite player on the team. There's offensive line depth in John Feliciano. There's our kicker, Jake Moody. A lot of guys that you're going to get these reinforcements. So not to say the 49ers are in the best position, but man, you go online to betting sites and all that stuff, 49ers are still favored to win this division. And it almost feels like, you know, I talk to Seahawks fans. I can't talk to Ravens fans. They don't exist. Cardinals fans, they exist in baseball. But, like, I don't know. It seems like the general NFL consensus is the 49ers, they've got to be the favorites, but you can't lose any more of these close heartbreak games that you have in the past. So let's turn over to the film, man. What were some of the things that came across the tape of the Cowboys game that perhaps you didn't notice from a coaching perspective, film perspective, whether scheme, player, anything that kind of showed out to you?
Well, I thought I loved the way that the 49ers were using the edge defenders to kind of come in. They were sending them inside and taking away inside gaps, and then replacing it with the linebacker or Deommodore Lenore in a lot of situations for the outside contain. I thought that was at least a little bit of a different method. They had been going with the run blitz, sending a linebacker, and now they kind of did it a different way. Take that defensive end, move him in late, or stick him inside and have him go ahead and take away that inside gap. And I thought that was a subtle adjustment to a defensive scheme to stop the run. And it wasn't like the Dallas Cowboys run game was really good coming into this game, but the 49ers did their job. They made sure it wasn't effective against them. And I thought it was just a subtle change and something that probably wouldn't make a lot of people think about it. But when you're running a gap-oriented defense, those types of things can throw off blocking and throw off another team's scheme against you. And I thought they did a really good job with that. That freed up their linebackers to be able to make some plays. And Fred Warner and Devondre Campbell both played the run really well in this football game. And if you're going to make a team one-dimensional, you're going to make it difficult on them. And I thought they did that, especially in the second and third quarter. I thought they played really well against the run. And that's exactly what you need from this football team. And you're going to need it moving forward. You're going to have to continually adjust and keep them guessing on what you're trying to do.
You know, it's kind of funny because, you know, you played the Cowboys, who are the worst rushing offense and defense in the NFL. The Dallas Cowboys woes are going to continue. Just got a report out. Micah Parsons still about a week out, not getting him back. Now, after the bye week, you're playing the Buccaneers, which, guess what? Buccaneers are not a strong run game either, and they just lost their top two wide receivers. Very good team, much more complete team than the Dallas Cowboys. Not even close, even without their top two wide receivers. Much better coached on offense and defense. But you're going up against another team that has struggled running the ball. Now, the 49ers came off 33 rush attempts. I think, was it 33 or 36? I got it right here. I apologize. I don't want to get this wrong. 36 rush attempts, 223 yards, two touchdowns. You averaged 6.2 yards per carry against the Cowboys. That's huge. And look at Invader. He's coming in with some of the efficiency numbers. First downs rushing. Brock Purdy has 22 first down rush attempts. Aaron Jones, 21, Breece Hall, 19. You know, and again, you got Breece Hall, the Jets in there. Jets are playing tonight. They should never be on primetime ever again for as long as we're all alive. But if we go back to Aaron Rodgers, when Aaron Rodgers was good, one of the kind of things that stood out about him was rushing first downs. He wasn't a killer with, you know, the 30-plus yard rush attempts or whatever else, but just extending drives, moving the chains, and it's like Brock Purdy unlocked that this year. What a difference in 2023. Do you remember last year when Shanahan wouldn't even allow him to do quarterback sneaks to like week 15 because he was scared he was going to get hurt? So talk to me a little bit about this rushing attack with the efficiency of Brock Purdy extending the play with his feet all the time and running and getting first downs.
Yeah, it's been big, you know, and teams are even trying to spy him, and he's still finding ways to pump fake and get them moving, and he moves players with his eyes. But his ability to escape and be able to extend plays, you know, he's been trying to do this since his rookie season, but it's gotten a lot better. He's able to climb the pocket and escape through the middle of the offensive line now. He can go all over the place, and it just puts so much pressure on the defense because now a defense has to account for Brock Purdy, and if they don't account for Brock Purdy, he's going to pick up cheap yards and get first downs and make it easy for the 49ers. So I think his legs have been huge for this football team. I think they're going to continue to be huge for this football team because sometimes things just aren't going to work out. You're not going to have guys open, and then Brock's going to be able to make plays. But you brought up the quarterback sneaks. I think those have been huge for the 49ers. They quarterback sneak from the 2.5-yard line this week for a touchdown. That makes it easy money when you can go up and do that. And now people have to worry about a quarterback sneak all the time. 49ers get to 3rd-and-1. They pretty much can just quarterback sneak at this point. And give credit to Jake Brendel and Aaron Banks and Dominic Pooney for creating creases. But Brock Purdy nestles in there. Sometimes it's Kyle Juszczyk coming and giving a push. They just do a really good job at it. And Brock Purdy's legs have definitely helped Kyle Shanahan's offense. Because a lot of these other situations, if you had a more statuesque quarterback like Jimmy Garoppolo, they would have been sacks. And that's a huge difference between what the 49ers do and what they can do now with Brock Purdy.
And I would say, you brought up Jimmy G. I think there were two things that Jimmy Garoppolo was probably better at football-wise. Obviously, the smile and the chin line. But quarterback sneaks, that dude was ice cold at those. And then coming back after interceptions. I think the quarterback sneaks we can put to rest with what Brock's doing with his feet now. That's huge. So even that department shifts over to Brock Purdy. Now, if Brock could just come back from interceptions. Jimmy G had goldfish brain where you couldn't remember 10 seconds from the past. It just wiped clean. Brock Purdy seems like whenever he has turnovers, they kind of compound. And I think he's undefeated in games he hasn't turned the ball over. But
it's true.
It's interesting there for sure. And, one of the coaching things that I saw, those sneak plays with the quarterback sneak, right? There's the quarterback sneak, then there's the sneak one where it's like, they're not going to run a quarterback sneak here. They've done that twice now in three games and got touchdowns from it. So I'm watching the tape and I'm like, man, we're going to start to see three-man A-gap fronts where you plug the center and you got somebody in both A-gaps. And we saw it in the Cowboys game in the fourth quarter. I don't remember the play, but it was like second and like three or second and two. Isaac Grindo hesitates. I thought Grindo had a great game. But there were two fourth quarter runs where he hesitated and didn't fall forward and didn't get the first down. So then it forced a 3rd-and-1. We get up to the line of scrimmage and the Cowboys, they got three plug quarterback sneaks guys in both A gaps. We run that bootleg with freaking Ronnie Bell as the primary whatever. Yeah, Pearsall trailing and he's getting tugged from the back, whatever. And Shanahan lost his mind. You see him on the sidelines screaming, yelling. Does a little pirouette and runs off away from Brock Purdy. So, there's an adjustment because if you're scouting the Niners, hey, this is a quarterback sneak team. That should open up the outside run.
Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for your future. You don't need a lot of money or expertise to invest with Acorns. In fact, you can get started with just your spare change. Acorns recommends an expert build portfolio that fits you and your money goals, then automatically invest the money for you. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns, and let me just say this. I've used Acorns app for years. Very little work. You put it in. You pick your portfolio. It goes in, and it gives your money a chance to grow with Acorns. It's been incredible. I cannot recommend the Acorns app any more than I already do. I use it personally, and my family uses it personally. I recommend it all the time. So head to acorns.com/49ers or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Client testimonial, compensation provides incentive for positive promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, and SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/49ers. Attention Niner fans and watch aficionados. Elevate your game with the Breitling Chronomat San Francisco 49ers Team Edition now at Topper Jewelers. Celebrate the NFL's 104th anniversary with a Swiss-made timepiece that blends sophistication with sporting capability. Introducing the Breitling Chronomat, crafted in honor of the San Francisco 49ers, this 42-millimeter marvel features a striking crimson-white dial that finished with the iconic red and gold 49ers logo placed prominently at 9 o'clock. Limited to just 104 pieces, this watch showcases your team spirit with distinctive colors and logos. Powered by Breitling's in-house BO1 chronograph movement, it combines precision with a bold design. And with a 70-hour power reserve, 200 meters water resistance, and a sapphire crystal, it's built for both action and elegance. Catch this exclusive piece at Topper Jewelers at topperjewelers.com, where tradition meets the thrill of the game. But you'll want to hustle, because once these 104 pieces are gone, they're gone forever. Discover this 49ers edition as well as other iconic Breitling watches like the legendary Navitimer and Mighty Super Ocean, now at Topper Jewelers. And while supplies last, mention this ad in the 49ers rush to receive a special gift with your next Breitling order. And so now, if they're going to plug, if you're under center, if you're in shotgun, Shanahan, you lose all the advantage. But if it's short yarded situation, 49ers are on offense. They plug those A gaps, can-can, outside toss, crack toss, jet sweep. Those plays will be successful. So I'm hoping, you know, the thing that makes Shanahan Shanahan is the counters off of the adjustments of the defense. We ran a lot more jet sweeps. I thought that was fun. You know, one of the things that stood out to me is you ran 9 screens in this game. Some of them were really bad. You had a drop from Debo that might have been a touchdown. Isaac Grindo, man, I hate that I'm piling on him. He runs the screen route and just is maybe 8 yards too wide outside of the blocking parameter. And just like Dominic Pudi's like, what do you want me to do, man? Did you see the same thing on that play?
Yeah, 100%. He should have been further inside, and he would have had a nice crease. I mean, that play was set up. It just wasn't executed correctly by Isaac Grindo. And that's the thing. If he gets inside where he had blocking, he would have been running for a little bit. I don't know if it would have been a touchdown, but it would have been, you know, a double-digit yard play, and it would have been huge for this football team. Spreading that team out wide, horizontally, that will also kind of get players out of the middle. And I think that's what Kyle Shanahan's goal was let's spread out Dallas horizontally. It was kind of old school Shanahan offense. Let's spread them horizontally and make for some nice windows for Brock to be able to throw in the middle of the field. They've tried to stretch everyone vertically. It hasn't always worked. It's made Brock pretty hole in the football. So let's spread them horizontally. And it worked pretty well against Mike Zimmer's defense.
Yeah, Ed, yeah, right here, Trade Wreck. Shout out to Trade Wreck. Glad to see you here, my friend. That blown screen that Brock pulled the ball back, it was a play action, and then he was supposed to hit Debo on the flare, and they jumped it. And he just tucks it, and like, well, we're just going to run this. And I think he got like 18 yards almost on a busted play. A testament to how poorly coached the Dallas defense is that a busted play goes for that much, but also a testament to kind of the adaptability and creativity of Brock Purdy, because you throw that, that's a pick six. That's a whole different ball game. Instead, you turn it into an 18-yard play. That was huge. And shout out to Monkey Boy. This is in my notes. This is what I was bringing to the table, but you're still in my thunder, and I appreciate that. He says, was Purdy trusting Grindo in the passing game more than he does Mason? I said 100%. So many times Jordan Mason should be the first read on just like a simple, okay, I'm looking here, check down, looking here, check down. Purdy looks right through him. He can't see him. Jordan Mason's transparent to Brock Purdy, but not the same with Isaac Grindo. Not the same. And so, again, I'm a Jordan Mason truther. That is just what it is. But Jordan Mason injured is not Jordan Mason. So if he's not 100%, I don't want him out there. And if you're not going to use Jordan Mason in the pass game and alter the entire offensive scheme, I don't like that either. So if you trust Grindo, and if you will use him in the passing game, let's just say hypothetically Christian McCaffrey comes back after the bye week like we all hope. I would rather have Isaac G there as the number two than Jordan Mason if you will throw him the damn ball. So what are your thoughts on why Purdy trusts Isaac Grindo so much more than Mason?
I think he knows that Grindo is going to be where he's supposed to be. You know, I mean, that's been a big part of it, is Brock wants to trust that a player is going to be where they're supposed to be. And this has been a problem for the 49ers receivers, whether it was running back or wide receiver. Chris Conley and Ronnie Bell are not usually where they're supposed to be. They don't get to their landmarks. So you have issues there. So I think he just feels comfortable with Grindo, knowing he's going to be where he's supposed to be. And I think sometimes Jordan Mason doesn't quite get there. And I don't know exactly why. I think this has been one of the biggest question marks about Jordan Mason has been him in the receiving game, which he worked on his hands. He did a really great job, which is fantastic. but also the fact that he doesn't always pass block well. He's fixed that this year, but now it's just confidence with Brock Purdy. We'll see. I think that Isaac Grendo definitely looks more confident catching the football, and when he gets targeted, he makes catches. So I think that if he's going to continue to run the way he's ran, he will have an opportunity to have more snaps than Jordan Mason because of his receiving ability.
Yeah, and, you know, Invader, you know, Grendo, former wide receiver, he was the third down back for two separate colleges in his 5 years. That's what he did. And, you know, again, you know, we do the draft work, and I got to do a selfless plug here. I told Ann I was doing this. We were complaining because the 49ers never draft centers. And we were like, man, who the hell was the last center drafted? And sure enough, it was Marcus Martin all the way back 2014. And I was able to pull that one out of a hat, and then I had to look it up. But we were talking about all the trade candidates and like why we both like love all these players after you do all the draft work, and you can kind of learn who the fits are and who the fits are not. But anyway, yeah, Grendo, the pass protection, that's an issue, but the arrow's pointing up. You got Brock Purdy killed in probably the most important play of the game. That was rough. I hated the play call, but whatever. The arrow's pointing up with Grendo. And if me, a Jordan Mason truther, is sitting here saying, if you're going to use him in the passing game the way you are, the way you did this game, four targets, three catches, I would rather have Grendo out there a little bit more than Jordan Mason personally. Shout out to Edgar. Appreciate the super sticker. You are the absolute best. David V, he's got the hashtag TCC and the hashtag CC. I love it. I love it. So you talked about the wide receivers. Sonia says Conley and Pearsall figuring out where they line up while the ball is being snapped made me so upset. There were a lot of that. It was a mess out there. You could tell they're shuffling wide receivers at new spots. What were your thoughts just on the miscommunications on the offensive side? We're not used to seeing it.
Well, that particular play really upset me because you have two veteran players, Deebo Samuel and Chris Conley, and you could tell Deebo was telling Conley they were supposed to be lined up different. But Conley makes a mistake, and he's a veteran player, and he knows what the play is, and he should just tell Ricky to stay there. There's no reason to make an adjustment. There's no reason to make a change. Ricky Pearsall's the rookie in this situation, and he's also the guy that hasn't practiced very much. So if he's going to line up wrong, it's more understandable. I think when it comes to a veteran, they've got to be smarter. But those are the unforced errors and the things that drive a coach crazy. Anything where you don't get lined up right, you don't cover a tackle when you're supposed to be on the line of scrimmage, you don't go in motion, like things like that, those subtle things that you do that are unforced errors, those will drive you crazy. And those things can't happen, especially when you have veterans that have been in the league as long as a guy like Chris Conley. You expect it from Jacob Cowing. You expect it from Ricky Pearsall. It's things we saw from Deebo and Ayuk and all those guys when they were young too. But the veterans, no reason for it, especially guys who have been in this system for more than one season. I didn't like that at all, and it really could have cost the 49ers. Luckily, Brock Purdy throws a great pass to Deebo Samuel for a big gain, and everyone kind of just forgets it. But it could have been pivotal, 3rd-and-1 to 3rd-and-6. You just can't have those things happen in the football game.
Yeah, and I'll say this, and I want to, again, kind of the first half of this show is usually things we noticed on tape that we might have missed. I'm a huge Jacob Cowan guy. And the fact that that dude's only getting 12 snaps a game has made me livid because I think he's a playmaker, especially whenever you look at Ronnie Bell out-snapping that dude every single game. So I'm just going to say this. Ronnie Bell has not been released yet, but Jacob Cowing is not earning his snaps. Lined up wrong on one of those huge plays that was, you know, we didn't cover up the tackle. That was huge. And then on the Deebo jet sweep, it might have been a jet sweep play. But whatever, it was Deebo to the outside, inside the 10.
Outside zone.
Completely missed. Completely missed the crackback block. I mean, he got there, but I joked. I said it was kind of like a Jake Brindle block, where it's like you're not sure which way the ball is going, so you're not using your information of where the direction of the run play is supposed to go. And so he runs head up to a linebacker and tries to block him, but it's an outside zone. It's like if you just get in the way of the shoulder, play's done, and that guy made the play. Would have been not a walk-in touchdown, but Deebo would have scored. And so if you're only giving few and you mess those up, you're not going to get more. And we know that the playmaking ability's there, but the misalignment, misblock in the goal line, that's hard. I don't want more Ronnie Bell, But I walked away from the offensive tape going, all right, I kind of get it. I get it. So the answer, though, is third and one. And I kind of want to cheat just a little bit here. Shout out to Ricardo. The second half of the show, and I want to go into this now because we're talking wide receivers. Juwan Jennings has been out 2 weeks. I think he's our wide receiver one. So my question to you, Ant, what do the 49ers look like offensively, wide receiver-wise, the rotation, all those things, when Juwan Jennings is back out there moving forward after the bye week?
Well, we know we're going to get a heavy dose of Juwan and Debo. Those are your two most consistent wide receivers. They're the players that you know are going to be where they're supposed to be when they're supposed to be there. And when you run a timing offense like the 49ers do, and Brock throws with such anticipation, that's the most important thing. Speed don't matter. The way they create separation, that don't matter. What matters is be where you're supposed to be. And that's what those guys can do. And you're right. Juwan has been playing the best at wide receiver for the 49ers this season. He has been the most consistent, but he's also been a playmaker with the ball in his hands. And so the 49ers know they still got playmakers. Now, after that, it's going to be Ricky Pearsall, because Ricky Pearsall shows the most ability to be able to create separation with his great route running and the way that he really uses his body to lean into defenders and create separation using his body at the top of his stem. It's really nice. I love the way he gets in and out of his breaks. So I think he's a guy that I think they're going to count on moving down the stretch. And watching this film, there's opportunities where Ricky Pearsall could have had big explosive touchdowns. For whatever reason, it's just missed. A lineman misses a block, or Brock Purdy gets hit from behind on what would have been a touchdown, but a blitz gets there. Those are little things right now, but those guys are going to be a big part of your rotation. I think after that, there's question marks. You brought up what happens with Jacob Cowing. They'd love to get him on the field because of his ability in the passing game, but he can't block. He can't line up yet. Those are things that he needs to work on. Chris Conley, I would normally say I love him out on the field, but now it's becoming I only want him out on the field when he's blocking in the run game because he's not being good in the passing game. He's getting moved off his routes. He's not able to come back to the ball like he's supposed to. And then with Ronnie Bell, we know what his weaknesses are. He has not been effective in the passing game at all. And so it's really bad depth-wise. That's why I don't count the 49ers out of a trade for a wide receiver for the mere fact they need more depth at the position. But they definitely need Juwan, Debo, and Pearsall to step up for the rest of the season. They're good enough with those three guys. But depth-wise, it's a little bit nerve-wracking.
There was a 3rd and 10 in the fourth quarter. This was like when we were at the 3-minute mark or whatever. It was like 3rd and 10. And we're about to give the ball back to the Cowboys to take the lead. And we run a 3-wide receiver route. Only 3 guys go out for a route. Chris Conley's one of them. Ronnie Bell's one of them. And then Ricky Pearsall. We've got Kittle back blocking because they're bringing 6-man pressure. And it's just like, really? Like, I don't know what the answer is on that play, but it's just like if you're doing a 3-eligible receiver route and Roddy Bell and Chris Conley are 2 out of those 3, you're in trouble. And it wasn't a good route by Ricky Pearsall either on that play. But I did think Pearsall played well. But it was just like, this ain't it, man. This ain't it. So you get back Jennings. Debo, can he finish a game? You know, that's definitely got to be out there. It's just the health. The depth, because if Jennings and Debo played that whole game out, it's not an issue. It's not an issue at all. But, man, the health and all those things, it's just a struggle. Ugh, yeah, it's rough. Now, let's switch it back over. Let's shift gears. Talk to me about something else you saw on tape that you were just like, okay, this is awesome. Or bad. It could be negative.
Right. I mean, I was enjoying the way that the 49ers, Kyle Shanahan, was approaching attacking Dallas's defense. He adjusted on the fly. He was making sure he found things that he liked, and they were canning, getting in and out of plays, probably the most that I've seen this year, where they were coming to the line and finding out what that defense was trying to do, whether they were picking up blitz, which I thought they did a pretty good job recognizing blitz in this game. And I also thought they did a really good job of when they had very heavy sets, 6-man fronts. It wasn't just about checking to a pass, but sometimes they would check the run from one side to the other if they had the numbers. So I thought Brock Purdy really handled that part of the game well, and I think that's encouraging moving forward. And Kyle Shanahan got a grip on what Zimmer was doing. Collinsworth is sitting up there like, oh, every time they're in shotgun, they're running a blitz. And it's like, cool. Every time they're in shotgun, they're running a blitz. You don't think Kyle Shanahan don't figure that out? He does. Quick screens, jet sweeps like we talked about earlier.
Loved
all it. Those things kill the blitz. And he did a great job with that. So I love the way that he was handling offense. I thought Kyle was in his bag again, just making sure he got guys in good positions. They left a good 21 to 28 points out there on the field that they could have had on some big explosive plays for lack of execution. So I feel comfortable with what Kyle was doing against a Zimmer kind of a blitz a defense.
It's funny because whenever I break it down, you know, Zimmer and kind of all the defense that they run there, it's old Marinelli front, whatever. It's funny. I call it the Cheesecake Factory defense because it's like they run every single front and coverage known to man. They run it all, you know, zero, cover one, cover two, two man, three, quarter, six. Like they run everything, but they don't do anything well. You ever been to Cheesecake Factory to get that damn menu? Like you could bludgeon somebody to death with that damn thing. But anyway, sorry. Somebody's like, he's talking trash on Cheesecake Factory. Like I know somebody just got mad at me, but that's kind of what the Cowboys do. They're just not coached well, and they do everything, and they don't do anything well. But my favorite play, and it was early, is we had Debo in the backfield. It was shotgun formation, and they telegraphed from the break. Double A gap mug, Mike blitz, cover one, man. And it's just like, oh, is Nick Sorensen calling the Dallas Cowboys defense? Like, I was like, what is happening? We motion out. We check that it's man, and then we send Debo on that rail route, get that 50-yard gain right off the bat, and I was just like, the heavens opened for John Chapman's therapeutic response of, we are not the team getting just dusted, lining up a linebacker against one of their best players. Oh, it was just so nice. We got him twice on that one. We got the Kittle, like, just quick in route against cover one man, and then he took it for 50 yards. So, like, it's like we self-scouted. It's like, oh, man, all these big plays can happen when teams are in cover one man. Who would have guessed? Well, any team that watches our defensive tape. So before we switch to the second half of this show, is there anything else that you have that you wanted to get to that perhaps we missed?
I just want to give some props to the secondary. You know, I thought that Renardo Green – and D'Amore Lenore really competed, but Charvarius Ward did too. And, you know, I thought that those guys really stepped up. We got the best play I think we've gotten from the safeties this season. Even though there were breakdowns and there were mistakes, these guys really competed, and they did a really good job for the most part until we had the breakdowns in the fourth quarter against CeeDee Lamb. But I liked what I saw from them, and I thought that D'Amore Lenore was really good again. Being a nickel corner and helping in the run game, I thought run fits were fantastic in this game, and he's a big reason why. And so I just want to give them props because I think sometimes it's tough being a cornerback and a secondary player because every time you give up a 5-yard catch, people are like, you can't give up catches. And it's like, that's what happens. I'm playing cover three. I got to play off coverage. He catches the ball underneath. I make the tackle. That's what's expected. But people see it as a catch and a bad thing. And I thought they did a good job.
Yeah. Outside of the fourth quarter, 100% agree. And, you know, Nick Sorensen, the 49ers are now 30th out of 32 teams in fourth quarter scoring. We're bottom three in the NFL and allowing points in the fourth quarter. We led the NFL number one all season last year in fourth quarter scoring, and now we are bottom dwellers. And a lot of it's coaching, a lot of it is miscues. But yeah, I did think the secondary played well. And I do, you know, I haven't done a show since the news of Charvarius Ward came out. Just want to say, you know, just thoughts and prayers to him and his family. It's absolutely horrible. And, you know, I had no clue. We knew about his daughter and the health issues, but we just want to say, man, football is not that big of a deal. And it's sometimes things like this come across and it's just football is not what it's about sometimes. So I hope that he and his family are able to grieve properly and move forward with whatever that is. How he's playing football and reporting for work is difficult. But, man, we love that dude. He's awesome. And we're critical of the players. And I think it's a constant reminder. These are humans with families, and you know, I do this show with Ant every single week for a very big reason. He's a positive, good person and knows football. That's very, very important as well. I don't do shows with a lot of people for a reason. So I appreciate you, Ant, just the coverage that you constantly bring and just how you treat people like humans. And, you know, I catch myself sometimes with players that just get on my nerves, like, you know, a Jake Brindle or whomever. It's frustrating, or Ronnie Bell. Those are people, And so hopefully we can continue just to treat people as such. I think that's really, really important. So I appreciate everybody. And Brian, I know you reached out to me and just want to say thank you for that email. It put things into perspective. We're sports fans, but we're humans first. That's what it is. So we'll use this as just a quick break. Real quick, if you are betting in any way, shape, or form, Thursday Night Football, election results, whatever, here's where you do it.
You know football. You watch all the games. You know what's going to happen before it actually does. So why don't you put your knowledge to the test over at MyBookie, where you can bet on everything. Go to MyBookie.ag. Use promo code 49ERS, 49ers, or scan this QR code next to me, and they're going to match your initial deposit. Put in 50, you get 50. Put in 100, you get 100, all the way up to $1,000. Plus, you can bet everywhere. California, Texas, doesn't matter. I've been in California for years. I've used it for 6 straight years. Easy to get money in, easy to get money out, trusted source, and you can bet on anything you want. You want to bet on politics, any sport, you name it. They've got the casino, if that's your thing. You name it, MyBookie is there for you. Now, make sure you use promo code 49ERS to get that double deposit. And MyBookie, bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.
You know, I want to say thank you just to all the people out there. Like, we've gotten so much positive back on the show. We've only been doing it. We started this season. But Permaculture Now says, this is one of my favorite shows of the week. You two have a great vibe together. Want to say thank you. And right here, Alan, this is my only message. A brother busy, but I don't want to miss this. Keep up the work, fellas. I'm here, John and Ant. I freaking love it. And just all the positivity. You guys are incredible, and we're very, very thankful. And yeah, we've got a lot that I want to talk about and get to, and we never get to enough, but this has turned into a fun show, man. So, Ant, I just want to say, hopefully we keep doing this. You don't fire me. I'm sure I'll say something that I'm not supposed to at one point. But let's change our gears. Let's go to the second part of the show. After the bye week, things are going to change. One, you're getting Jennings back, we talked about. Christian McCaffrey. How do we process what this team could look like if you reinsert CMC? Is it full throttle 2023, or is it kind of like use him sparingly? What are we expecting here?
Well, I don't think you can use him full throttle. I think that has to be saved for the playoffs and the Super Bowl run. I think what you're trying to do is reintroduce him. So, yeah, you want to get him on the field. You want to move him around. That's the thing. I mean, you can spread him out wide and change a defensive look just by his impact of being on the field, and you can do other things. So just him being on the field is going to be an impact. And all of us who have coached know that there's a thing called a decoy, and that's what Christian McCaffrey can be big time for this football team. So the impact is felt just from him being on the field. That doesn't mean he's getting a full rep in the running game or even getting a full rep in the passing game, but those are things that are going to change the way a defense approaches playing the 49ers offense. Because this is a part that gotten brought up before, is when you have McCaffrey and Debo on the field at the same time, you now have to account for both of them. So if they go to opposite sides of the field, it spreads the defense out. You can no longer fully attack one or the other, and it kind of creates some opportunities on the backside of your play for some other things you can do. So it makes a team cover more grass. It makes them cover more of the field, and that's one of the keys. But I think you got to be smart with McCaffrey. You got to make sure you give him limited reps here and there. I think there's less rushing reps and probably more receiving reps for him. And I think that you're still going to get the impact in the running game, but you have some guys you can rely on when it comes to running the football, like Jordan Mason and hopefully Isaac Arendo. So I think they're going to work him in. I think they're going to push for this thing to increase until they get to the playoffs, where they really set him loose and hopefully he stays healthy. And then the 49ers are full go for that big run in January and February.
That's what I hope they do. I really, really do. It again, use these games to get the rookie up to standing. He's got a long ways to go, Garinto, but like, man, you need that depth. And Vader says, get him integrated. Don't allow him to dictate his snap count, which is a problem with Shanahan, has been a problem with Shanahan. Like, you got to tell him no sometimes. That's just the way it is. Ed, he says, full throttle, John. McCaffrey doesn't go half speed. He's a burner. Yeah, that's scary. That is a, yeah, that one's scary to me. So we'll see. We'll see right here, McCorry. Do you guys think McCaffrey should start? Yeah, I think he should start. If he's going to play at all in any way, shape, or form, yeah, snap one, get him out there. Should he have the most snaps of the whole game? Yeah, I don't know. We got to see how practice goes. But, man, give him 15 snaps. I think the biggest area we need him is on third downs. The idea, somebody asked earlier, do you think Kyle Juszczyk should get more snaps? Kyle Juszczyk's getting more snaps at this current pace than he has at any point being a 49er. He has a higher snap percentage share currently because he's being used as the third down back. Well, guess what? Kyle Shanahan is not a third down back. That is not his role. But he's kind of the duct tape that holds everything together, whether you need him to punt, kickoff, field goals, fullback, tight end, whatever. He can do everything. So I want him, like, if I could just say, like, okay, you get Christian McCaffrey for 12 plays. I'm not saying that's what they should do, but if somebody said that, I'm like, cool. He's out there every third down. Every single third down is a Christian McCaffrey play. That's how I would, and I think that's going to be his biggest impact. So let me turn this back to you. What area of the game do you think, and you can't steal my answer, I already said third down, Ant, so that's mine. What other area do you think that Christian McCaffrey would have such a big impact?
Red zone. It's got to be the red zone, right? 68% touchdowns last year.
He wouldn't even took my answer. He didn't even want my answer.
Third downs are going to be important, but red zone. I mean, the 49ers have moved up and down the field all season. That hasn't been a problem. They're at over 400 yards of offense per game. The problem is getting into the end zone. And with Christian McCaffrey, it's just better. You space the defense out. You make it more difficult. So, yeah, that would be a huge impact. If the 49ers only played Christian McCaffrey on third down and in the red zone, it would greatly impact their team. They would go from kicking field goals to scoring touchdowns. So I think he can have a huge impact, even in a limited role. Like you said, 12 to 15 snaps sounds pretty good to me, as long as they're in those two situations. And I think he'll have a huge impact.
Oh, I freaking love it. Just see 23 in uniform. It's just going to be just like, you know what I mean? Just like, okay, now we're all right. Like, we got him back. And I don't think that he's going to be anywhere near what he was, and he's not supposed to be. But just having him there, it's gigantic. He's a team captain. Now, should be a team captain, never has been. Allen, he says, nicknamed the Dre Greenlaw 2024 debut Dre Day. But when is this happening? When they came out and talked about it, they said it's going to be week by week after the bye week. Now, November 17th would be the nine-month mark. That's when we play the Seahawks at home. Seahawks. So let's talk about Dre Greenlaw, and let's ask the same question. How does this affect the defensive rotation and kind of what you do on the defensive side?
Well, I think you got to work Dre Greenlaw in. I don't think you let him go full go either. I think that there are key situations that he should be on the field, and one of those would be when you're in nickel. It makes the most sense to have him out there. He's very good in coverage, but he's very good in space, and that's an advantage over Devondre Campbell. I think that, yeah, you would love to have him in base sets, but you don't exactly have to unless you have a bad matchup with a running back. So I think they're going to have to work him in and work him into the rotation. The good news is Campbell's good against the run. D. Winters has been playing better and better every single week. So you have some guys that can help ease Dre Greenlaw in, because the same sort of thing is true. You get to the end of December, January, that's where Dre Greenlaw needs to be full-time. And when he does become full-time, him and Fred are on the field all the time. And then you go ahead and you put Devondre Campbell in base sets where he can help against the run game and is not a real liability when it comes to catching or receiving against him. That's when you get your best situations. And then if you need to, you have D. Winters to go in and take care of Dre Greenlaw's spot if needed. So Dre's going to be another one that needs to work in, but the impact that's going to be felt on run plays, and especially when it comes to the passing game, is going to be huge, because when it comes to zone coverage, he gets to his spots. He plays it correctly. We don't have to worry about him taking the cheese and allowing something over the top because he jumps on an underneath route. He gets deep just like Fred does and makes sure he takes away those plays. And then he's a phenomenal tackler. So he's going to be huge for this football team when he comes back. That's the question. Is it Seattle or is it Green Bay, Buffalo? I think that's kind of the window that we see Dre Greenlaw come back.
I want it to be Seattle because his best games. I mean, he's the CEO of Seattle, the Hawk Slayer, all those things. And my favorite thing, well, maybe not favorite thing, but Dre Greenlaw versus mobile quarterbacks, they don't behave the same way when 5-7's out there. Like, I think about, and it's not, I think about that stupid run that Patrick Mahomes had. Do you think Dre Greenlaw's going to slow down and hesitate? No, he would have baptized that dude into the freaking Gatorade thing 15 yards off the field. He got a penalty. I don't give a damn. I will take that every single time. I know I'm not supposed to say those things out loud, but I don't care about the penalties. I do not care. You have a weapon. Allow him to intimidate and scare the hell out of the opponent's players' wives and stuff all the time. I think that's what's so important. So, man, he's got to be so important to this team come the playoff stretch. So that's the thing. Can you get these guys back to full time at the playoffs? Because you go back to, I think about Kwon Alexander in the 2019 team whenever he tore his bicep or a tricep, I think. It was one of those. They rushed him back in the playoffs, and his first game was in the NFC Championship, and he was awful. And then he plays in the Super Bowl, and I'll still say this, was the worst player for either team the entire Super Bowl. They abused the hell out of him whenever he was out there. It was so bad. So if we can get these players back before the playoffs, get those games out of the system, then you could, you know, get to that point. And think about Hargrave. Hargrave was absolutely horrible in the divisional and NFC Championship game, but then he got time off and was actually back healthy, and he was great in the Super Bowl. So hopefully we're afforded this time because of the timeline of the injuries that we don't have to rush them back. Don't rush them back. Right here, Sonia, I keep thinking about Greenlaw going out in the Super Bowl. Mahomes immediately pointed it out, and the game changed. Before Greenlaw went out, you had Travis Kelce bumping, you know, the head coach and fighting on the sideline and all that stuff. But, yeah, it was the turning point. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. Now, let's do this. A couple quick questions. Oh, Sebo, what's up, man? He says, is it invasion game next week in Tampa? It 100% is. The 49ers are holding an official invasion party. Literally, I think it's sold out, actually. And so the fact that we're 2 weeks out, the 49ers official invasion thing is completely sold out. We're getting pretty close. We're one block away. We will be at the Brick House Tavern in Tampa Bay, Florida with Frank Gore Saturday, November 9th from 2 to 8 p.m. So if you want to come out, we still have tickets available. You go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. You got to buy your entry. Kids get in free always with a ticketed adult. We're not a babysitter. Don't drop kids off. We will not. That's not how it works. But anyway, if you want to just get in and party, we're giving all kinds of stuff away. Trivia, competitions is always a good time. But if you want to meet Frank Gore and get an autograph and a picture with him, you can buy those on the site, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. And I think this might be the biggest tailgate that we will have ever thrown. So I think that this is going to be a complete takeover at the Tampa Bay game. I really, really do. Because, you know, we've done so many events, and you look at just the numbers that are coming across, it's like, yeah, this is going to be an invasion. There's going to be, now they're red, which I hate red on red, so we're not going to be able to tell as much, but we're going to hear the Niners on third down. It's going to be loud in Raymond James Stadium. I'm pumped about this. Val asks, are we favored to win the Bucs game? The preliminary lines are out. I looked it up a while ago. 4.5 to 3.5 points favored on the road. So, yes, we are favored on the road, but the Bucs are a good team. They're no joke. Have you started looking into that? What are your preliminary thoughts on kind of that game, the 49ers versus Bucs next week?
Yeah, you know, I haven't looked a whole lot, but I have watched the Bucs this season. They've been a team that's exciting to watch, especially with who they had at wide receiver and Baker Mayfield. But that's going to be one of the big things. They're not going to have Mike Evans. They're not going to have Chris Godwin. Those are going to be huge losses for them. So how is this offense going to roll? Because their offense has been carrying this football team this season, but it's been mainly Baker Mayfield in that passing game. So they're going to have to try to rely on the running game a little bit more. That hasn't been as successful. Their offensive line is not as good as some of the top-tier offensive lines in the league. That should give some opportunities to the 49ers defensive line. So I think it's going to be a fun one. You know, anytime you have to travel across country, it's always interesting. But I think the 49ers should be favored, you know, 4.5 points. I think they are the team that should be able to beat Tampa Bay. I think they can. And That one's going to be fun to get into because Baker Mayfield versus Nick Bosa, again, it's just fun. Every time it comes up, it's always interesting. I love the way Baker plays. He's always just out there giving everything he's got. And, you know, he's doing a pretty good job now.
He leaves it all out there. I hate OU. I hate Baker Mayfield, but I respect what he does between the lines. Very, very much so. The Bucs are the only team to beat Detroit, says Mr. Corey. There we go. And Brotz and 49ers could always run the ball versus Tampa. Their defense is bad. 28th in points allowed, 30th in yards allowed, but their offense, fourth, top five in both those categories. So you score points, but they give up a lot of points. They're used to track meets and kind of coming down to the last thing and just balling out. They've got to adjust some things without their studs out there. That's for sure. Right here, speaking of Mr. Corey, hey, Ant, you still doubted my Pooney second team All-Pro prediction? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I am. I think a rookie getting All-Pro is really going to be difficult. I think maybe a Pro Bowl selection. I think, yeah, you know, that's possible. But second team All-Pro, that's going to be difficult. You've got to be one of the top four, you know, guards in the NFL. I don't think so. I think he's good, though. He's really, really good, and I've loved Dominic Pooney since I first saw him practice in the Senior Bowl. But, no, I still doubt Mr. Corey a little bit here.
Yeah, I think you land on, like, the all-rookie team, something like that. That's what you get. You can't get the Pro Bowl because you have to have name recognition now. Maybe he gets in on there, but I'm with you. Is it deserving? Probably not. I don't think he's top four. I think he's borderline kind of top eight, top 10, and that's perfect. That's not a criticism, but, oh, man, it's going to be fun. Now, John, he says, so basically that's a no to Calais Campbell or Harold Landry coming to the Bay. What are your thoughts on those two players?
I like them both, you know, and I think that if you could add Calais Campbell, for instance, on the interior, that now makes Jordan Elliott a backup. And if that makes Jordan Elliott a backup, that means that your defensive rotation just got better. And so I think those are always possibilities. I know he's 38, but he's played well this season. He's got two sacks. Imagine what he could do with Nick Bosa on the outside. And with Harold Landry, this is a double-digit sack guy every single year. He's got a lot of ability. If you could pick up either one or both, you just completely change the way your defensive line plays football. And that would be huge for Bosa. That would be huge for the interior. I mean, those guys are out there. We'll see. I mean, I don't know what kind of bidding war it's going to look like. I'm sure Calais Campbell will have an opinion, and probably they'll listen to where he wants to go because he's earned that in his career. But if he wanted to come to San Francisco and the 49ers were willing to pull the trigger, I would definitely be interested in both those guys.
You know, I did that trade show, and I rated all these. I rated like 50 players, 1 to 10. Both these were 10s. Like, they are 10 out of 10s. Harold Landry would be the one player, if I could add anybody that's reasonable, Harold Landry. I feel like he's like the most unsung pass rusher in the NFL that people just do not give credit to. I mean, double-digit sacks is hard. It's right here, trade wreck. A girl can dream about Trey Hendrickson. And I think that this week is huge because so many teams are like, well, we still got a shot. Let's see what happens this week. But, you know, if you fall to 2-7, you're done. There's like five or six teams with only two wins. Man, maybe seven teams with two wins. If those teams lose, we'll see. And so, like, I don't consider the Cincinnati Bengals at 3-5, even if they drop to 3-6. I don't think that they're selling. I just don't see it. I would love Trey Hendrickson as well. But some of these teams, so it's kind of rude against week. As the 49ers are kind of, you know, they're in the clubhouse. We're chilling at 4-4. We get a rest a little bit. It's kind of, it's a haters ball week. I don't know if you ever used to watch Chappelle Show.
Hey.
Yes. Just hate everything. And so this is a root against week, which is going to be fun. Or root for the opposing team, if you want to be positive, whatever that is. But, man, this has been fun. And every single time we do this Thursday show, it's always fun. Any closing remarks or takeaways that maybe I skipped over that you wanted to get to before we head out of here?
No, I've been having fun on Thursdays too. I always enjoy our conversations, and I think the show is going really well, and I'm glad people are enjoying it because that's the most important thing, that if people enjoy it, then, you know, we definitely enjoy it. But it's always fun to have a conversation. You know, we don't always see everything eye to eye, but it means we have good conversation off of it. And that's what's important. And that's the perspective that we want to bring, is something different. And then the fans have their own, you know, own opinions as well. That's what I love about the format. I'm enjoying it right now. And I'm hoping the 49ers can make some moves and get some stuff done. So we have some more fun conversations, some big games coming up down the final stretch. I know it'll be a lot of fun for us to be able to break down.
I love it, man. You're the man. Disagreements are a good thing. No matter what media and people tell you, disagreements are a great thing. That's why we are who we are. What unites us is greater than what divides us. Hopefully people remember that this week. It's going to be crazy. Anyway, we love you guys. You are the absolute best. Want to say thank you just for allowing us to do this. And man, we'll be back next Thursday and we'll go from there. But until then, gosh, y'all are awesome. And as always, stay strong, faithful.